Good job, sis. Man, you pray for these young people. And the devil would like nothing better to take that talent and twist it up and use it for something that won't bring honor and glory to Him. Amen. Amen. I've been praying God raise up some musicians around here. I've been listening to Dylan O'Kelly. I don't know if anybody's ever taught him anything or not, but he just got something natural that he picked up, and he slips in, pecks around on that piano and sounding better all the time. Have you got one at home you get to practice on? You do? I was going to say, if you don't, we'll round one up. Amen. Listen, Todd Thompsons and Janice Dyers aren't born every day. Amen. There's a lot of people out there that can play, but if they don't have the right arrangement or the right music for it, they're just lost. And God's blessed us with people like Miss Janice and Todd. Man, you just start singing. Todd, jump on there and find you. Doesn't matter if he's ever heard the song or not, you know. And I praise the Lord for that. And I've been praying God would raise up some. Take your Bible and turn to Psalms chapter 42 tonight. Psalms chapter number 42. I'm going to continue just in a way, in a direction we were going this morning. I had no earthly idea how much God was in what I was doing this morning. I was overwhelmed after church with people talking to me about how they are battling depression or discouragement. If I heard it once, I heard it probably 30 times after church today. And that thing is prevalent and it's real. Amen. Amen. We're living in oppressive days. Amen. I warn against this all the time. I listen to talk radio, and I listen to Rush Limbaugh, and I listen to old Neil Bortz and them guys. But if that's all you listen to, if you're not careful, man, that'll depress you. Amen. If that's all you do, every now and then the Lord just says, hey, stop. You need to. Brother Robbie gave me a CD of hymns. I love the harmonica. And it's a harp music. And boy, I'll just cut that on. You know what it'll do? It'll drive that old bad feeling, that old bad spirit away. You remember when Saul would call for David to come in and play on his harp, and it'd drive the evil spirits away. I'm going to tell you how to beat this thing tonight. Yeah. Amen. I'm going to give you some ways that you can battle discouragement and depression. But listen carefully. You need to catch it early. Yeah. Don't wait till you're pert near ready to put the gun in your mouth and pull the trigger. You know when it starts. You know when it comes on. If you've ever been depressed or discouraged, I have. I know when it's coming. I see it. I feel it. I feel the beginning of it. Our problem is many, and I'm not being critical tonight, but a lot of people wallow in it. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. A lot of people just wallow in it. Let me say it again. A lot of people just wallow in it. In other words, you're looking for pity or self-pity, not help. Amen. I would rather be happy than be getting attention from people because I'm not. Amen. I would rather have joy and peace in my heart, lay down on my pillow at night, and go to sleep without the aid of a pill or anything else. Amen. I only have trouble sleeping when I travel. My first night away from, especially if I've been home for 2 or 3 weeks and hadn't went anywhere, my first night in a motel is always horrible. About the strongest thing I'll get is about a Tylenol PM, boy. And then I feel like I'm hungover when I wake up from that. Amen. But seriously, we ought to pray that we get to the place where we don't need. Again, I said this morning, I'm going to say it again. Don't go home and flush antidepressants you're taking down the toilet and cut them things off cold turkey. If you're not spiritually ready for that, you may be more worse off than good. We okay? Psalms chapter number 42, I'm going to look at some scripture, and we'll talk about this in just some little ways. I'm just wondering what would happen. We was talking about bondage this morning, being bound down with doubt and depression and those things. I just wonder what would happen if some of our folks got shook loose. Yeah. I wonder what it would be like. I wonder what the temperature of our services would be. You know what happens? Our kids, no doubt, and some of y'all will be critical, but don't do it around me because I won't put up with it for 5 seconds. Our kids are going to go to New Manna here in a few weeks, and they're going to come home fired up. And don't you dare throw a wet blanket on it. What happens? They go up there and they get around a bunch of other teenagers from all over the country, and kids are getting right with God left and right, and kids are worshiping and praising God, and our kids get in the altar, and they get free again. Just because Jesus set you free one time, I'm not talking about just salvation, that doesn't mean you won't get bound up again. I may never get to it, Brother Freddie. You remember the children of Israel? They were God had set them free from the land of Egypt. He had led them out, took them across the River Jordan, or they were wandering in the desert. You remember that? And their hearts and their minds, they were longing for the leeks and the garlics back in. You know what they were saying? They were saying, man, we had it better off back there being slaves than we do out here, being free, wandering around this desert. Man, Moses, what'd you bleed us out here for? Amen. God didn't lead you out to make your life worse. He led you out to make your life better. And I see God's people doing that all the time, saved by grace, on your way to heaven, but bound up with a bunch of junk. Amen. And I got to thinking today about areas it comes from, and it's just too many to mention. It's just too many to mention. The devil uses so many avenues to oppress our minds and our thoughts. And he'll sit down and start talking to you, and if you don't cut him off quickly, scripture example, the Lord Jesus, when he was led up into the mountain of temptation, 40 days and 40 nights, after 40 days and 40 nights, after he had fasted and done without food, when he was weak, the Bible said the devil came unto him and tempted him, saying, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Jesus didn't entertain him 5 seconds. You know what he said? It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. Are you following me? 3 times the devil tempted Jesus. Not one time did he argue with him. Not one time did he reason with him in any other way. All he said is, it is written. Man, when that thing comes and that old tempter comes and he starts messing with you, why don't you have you some scriptures ready and start quoting them at him? He can't handle it. Amen. Be prepared to fight. The Bible said that we ought not to be ignorant of his devices. Amen. Psalms chapter number 42, I'll read some scripture. The psalmist said in Psalms chapter number 42 and verse number 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He said, why art thou cast down? What's the matter with me? Have you ever asked yourself that question? You ever just been sitting on the couch or at home alone or laying in your bed and you think to yourself, what's the matter with you, man? What is your problem? And most of the time when people are depressed, they can't put their finger on why. When people get discouraged, they don't know why. And a lot of times you say, well, I'm not seeing outcome of what I'm doing. That's not the reason for your discouragement. Amen. A lot of times the reason for your discouragement is just familiarity. You've been doing it so long. Amen. It's just same old, same old, same old. It ain't exciting anymore. It's become dull, and you're in a place of duty instead of delight. Amen. Discouragement comes in all shapes and sizes. You study men all through the Bible. All of them got discouraged. All of them got discouraged. King David got discouraged. I'm talking about the one that slew Goliath. He got discouraged. Man, we all do. But when we get discouraged, we need to know what to do about it, because discouragement will kill you. Discouragement will kill you, not just in a ministry setting, but in life in general. Yes, amen. I meet people in Walmart all the time. Their eyes glazed over. They look like zombies. I don't think that's God's perfect will. Y'all listening? Let me say it again. I don't think that's God's perfect will. Listen, I'm not beating you up for being discouraged. I'm not beating you up for being depressed. I'm just saying, I don't think that's God's perfect will. Amen. Now, what you've allowed the devil to put in your heart and your mind, actually, it's your mind. He attacks the mind every single time. God can use for his glory. Amen. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, Brother Charles reminded me of him this morning. I have Spurgeon's Treasury of David. It's a 3-volume set on the book of Psalms. Just profound. What a man of God. What a man of God he was. He was a great man of God. But he would stay out of his pulpit for 6 weeks at a time, locked up in a room in depression. Would you say he is a godly man? Come on. I'd say he was. I'd say he had the hand of God on him. But still, he battled this thing. And then I look at myself and think, who am I? If he had to deal with it, if Elijah and Moses had to deal with it and David had to deal with it, surely on some level it's going to hit me. And it has hit me. And I'm going to show you some ways tonight I think will be a help to you. Take your Bible to James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4. And I'm just going to give you four or five things tonight. And if you want to, jot these down because they will come in handy. When discouragement and depression comes, number one, don't give in to it. Don't give in to it. Don't be the victim of it. Y'all okay? James chapter number 4 and verse number 7, are y'all looking at it? Doesn't that saying say something like, resist the devil and he shall flee from you? Amen. Is that what it says? Amen. Don't give in to it. Listen, you know when it's coming on, drive it away. How do you drive away discouragement? Discouragement comes in negative thoughts. Do you understand that? Discouragement comes when you focus on what is wrong. When you, the devil knows how to take, he has a spiritual magnifying glass, and he can make a gnat look like a pterodactyl. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, he can take the smallest little thing and magnify that in your mind. You got everything else in your life, your wife, your husband, your family, your children, your ministry, your work, whatever the case may be, and he'll take this one little thing and he'll magnify it above everything else. To where you can't see anything else. You can't see the goodness of God. You can't see the grace of God. All you can see is this little thorn in your flesh. All you can see is this little problem. And listen, if you don't watch it, it'll eclipse the love of God in your life. And we need to recognize it for what it is and stop looking at it. I'm not going to go there. Amen. I'm not going to go there. Listen, I'm going to tell you how to drive it away. Think about what's right. Yeah. I guarantee you'll find more right than you'll find what's wrong. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. You say, you don't know my situation. I know, but I know many others in this room. Yeah. I guarantee I can take you somewhere and show you somebody who's got it worse off than what you do. We can get in the truck. We can get in the truck and get on 285 and run around there to Glen Ridge Drive, and I can take you over to Scottish Rite Hospital, and we can walk those hallways for about an hour, and you'll come out feeling a whole lot better than what you did when you went in. I can put you in a truck and we can jump on I-20 and we can get off down there at 316 Peter Street, and we can carry you in there and introduce you a bunch of them homeless people who will sleep up under a bridge tonight. Are y'all listening to me? Their bed sheets will be a cardboard box, and you spend about an hour with them, and I promise you, you'll leave there and you won't be having negative thoughts about what's going in your life. You'll be thankful for what God has done. Listen, I'm trying to tell you, you have good things to think on. Amen. You don't have to spend time thinking on what somebody said about you. What good does it do? Well, I don't know what I'm going to do. The bills, the bills, the bills. Can you pay them? If the answer's no, what's worrying going to help? Are y'all listening? Well, I just don't know. They can't eat you. I know I threatened to this morning, but they're not going to eat you. Yeah, but what if they come and get our car? You probably had another one besides the one that you got now. Yeah. Man, it's just stuff. Yeah, it's just stuff, man. Hey, listen, man, if you're saved, sir, and your wife's saved, and your children are saved, or if they're too young, they're hearing the gospel, and you know they're going to be saved, man, you ought to thank God 10,000 times. Hey, man, the devil ain't got nothing to throw at you. Amen. Somebody needs to get a grip on this thing and realize it's not as bad as you think it is. You're doing better than you think you are. This is not a touchy, feel-good kind of sermon. It may seem that way, but I'm telling you, you're doing better than you think you are. Amen. I hear about people who go to the extent of Chase, our future son-in-law. We was talking about it today, and he said one of his first calls when he became an active duty officer, they went to a house, and a lady had committed suicide. She hung herself in her closet. Now, buddy, that's a dark place when you get to that point. Let me say it again. That's a dark place when you get to that point. But listen, that didn't come on all of a sudden. You don't just wake up one day and say, I'm going to kill myself. No, there's a process. That thing started somewhere. It might have been years ago. But we want to sweep it under the rug and ignore this and ignore that and go on and put our fake smile on our face, come to church, act like everything's all right, but inside our hearts we're in turmoil and we hope it'll just go away. It's not going to just go away. We're going to have to fight that thing head on. Amen. I said, do not give in to it. The devil will beat you if you let him. I preached a message one time when I was just a kid preacher, and here was the title of it: The Devil Cannot Defeat You Without Your Permission. Amen. The devil cannot defeat you without your permission. I know many that are out of church tonight whose children, if nothing changes, will never hear the gospel, may die and go to hell because they allowed the devil to come in and beat them down, get them discouraged, and cause them to quit. You know what you do on your job? Does it ever get discouraging? Brother Rusty said, shoot, no, I'd just like to have one. Amen. You pray for him. He may have an interview this week, so pray that goes well. Are y'all listening to me? You get discouraged on your job. Everybody does. You get aggravated at things that the higher-ups, decisions they make and stuff they do, and they bring somebody in brand new, and you got to train them. They're paying them more than paying you. That stuff gets discouraged, but you don't quit. Man, you hang. Why? You need that paycheck. You need that paycheck. And when the devil starts magnifying things and trying to discourage you and drive you into a state of depression, hey, you need the grace of God too. So don't quit on God. Don't quit on the very thing that delivered you out of darkness to begin with. Because when you step out of that, you go right back into darkness. Amen. I didn't say you wasn't saved anymore, but you're not happy anymore. You say, well, I don't believe a saved person can get in that condition. Really? Really? Come on. I know some preachers who, if they heard me preach this, they'd criticize me. Some Christians get the idea that because you're saved, you're supposed to be perfect. Show me one. Show me one. I think some of these preachers just want people to think they're so much more than what they really are. Well, bless God, I've never been depressed. Liar. If you're over 40, I guarantee you have. Sure, I could say that when I was 20. We need to see that thing coming. Yes. Not run from it, not hide from it, realize it's a reality. Amen. Not, listen, if, I got to be careful. Because I don't know for sure if outside help isn't necessary sometimes. I don't know. I know I've dealt with people that were beyond me. Amen. I've dealt with people in my office that I went, you need help. I'm not making fun. Brother Fred and I both, we've dealt with them. Brother Charles, we've dealt with them right here. We can call names. You'd know who some of them are. And I've visited them. I'm sitting with them in the hospital. I've been there. I've actually drove some and checked them in myself. Yes. I'm not saying that outside help is never necessary, but I'd seek inside help first. I'd seek inside help first. And I'm not trying to get in anybody's business, but once the medication starts, it's addictive. Amen. Once the medication starts, it's addictive. Once it's in your system, it's hard to get it out. And it's hard to get victory from God during a time when something else is controlling your mind and your body. I hope we're okay. I do, but I promise I'm not after anybody. But I believe the pharmaceutical companies is after us. Amen. Amen. I believe they are. I believe a lot of this stuff just made up bunch of junk, man. These doctors hand that stuff out like candy, brother. And they're getting vacations for it. I think it's wicked. Hey, listen, I didn't say that there aren't times that outside help may be necessary. I believe there can be a chemical imbalance in the brain. We had a man in our church. I led him to Christ. He was dying of cirrhosis of the liver. I was going to call his name. I'm not. He's in heaven. I wouldn't disrespect him. But he got saved. But after he got saved, he had planted some seeds in his past that his body was paying for. And because his liver was destroyed, his body couldn't filter out the chemicals. Well, that thing would get all out of whack and he'd go crazy.
I mean, Dad, he'd be in the hospital. He'd leave the hospital, be walking down the road naked. And his wife would call me and say, can you go find him? His name had come up on the caller ID. I didn't know if he's going to call and tell me what a blessing it was or cuss me out. It could go either way. That was a real situation. Amen. It wasn't nothing made up. It was real. And he had to have some help. But what I'm trying to say tonight is when you see that thing coming, let's seek God first. Let's get godly counsel first. Let's get some prayer warriors together first. Let's anoint you with oil first. Let's get this thing. Let's battle it God's way first. And see if we can stop that other from ever even having to come into play in our lives. Are we all right tonight? I said, don't give in to it. Don't give in to it. Don't be a victim of it. Realize you are a child of God and you're bigger than that. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Listen, if you're lost, you need appeal. If you don't know God, you need appeal to cope in this society where we live. Y'all okay? But if you're saved and you're a child of God, you've got something bigger than the devil inside you. You've got somebody who whooped him way back yonder, kicked him and his cronies out of heaven. I mean, the devil has never won a battle against the Lord. Never. Man, when the demons met Jesus, they asked permission to leave. They said, oh, what have we to do with thee, thou son of David? He said, I command you to come out of this man. He said, can we go in them hogs over there? Don't tell me we don't have a higher power. I believe in an all-powerful God, amen? I believe in a God who loves his children. I don't believe it's his desire and his will for you to battle this stuff for 1 second, amen? And I believe he can help if we sincerely want it. But we ought to seek God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen? We ought to go to him first. Amen. I've come to the point where I know to automatically, I know this feeling when it comes over me. I spend a lot of time alone. And buddy, that's dangerous. And I don't mean in a moral sense. I'm talking about a spiritual sense. Because I'm accountable to me. And I've learned to realize what that feeling is when it comes on. And I've learned to pray quickly. God, help me. Lord, help me not think about this. And God, help me not think about that. Lord, God, help me think about what you've done for me. Let me think about my children and my grandbabies and my wife and my home and my church. God, help me. Help me. God, he's messing with my mind. God, drive him away. Jesus started quoting that sucker scripture 3 times. You know what the Bible said? He left him alone. About 3 verses. No, the devil said, okay, I got it. No, you don't have to say no more. I'm gone. Then the angels came and ministered unto him. How about that? You ever been ministered to? I'm talking about outside the flesh. I ain't getting spooky here. It's spiritual. You ever had the Holy Spirit come and minister to you? Woo! They don't make appeal like that. Amen. Not even that goofy one I mentioned this morning. They don't make appeal like that. When the Holy Spirit comes, I've told the story time and time again about how I laid in my office floor over in the old building and began to pray and agonizing with God as low as I've ever been in my entire life in the middle of the night. And God is my witness. You know how you come to the altar and pray and somebody gets down beside you and you don't know who it is, but you know somebody loves you and they're there praying with you? Amen. I was in that building by myself. There's a hand on my shoulder, friend.
There you go.
I scared to look up, brother. I promise you, when I come up off that floor, I felt way better than I did when I come out. Woo! I'm talking about when the hand of God lays on. And it's a tangible thing that you can actually feel. You say, oh, you're getting charismatic. No, but I am automatic. Hallelujah. Thank God. I believe God touch you. You can feel it. Amen. I believe if you really want him to, he'll come help you. Drive it away. Drive it away. You see what happened? I got into a bad place. A set of circumstances usually ignite this thing. Stuff out of my control that other people do that I can do absolutely nothing about. That's usually where it comes from. Nine times out of ten, that's where I was that night. I didn't go to Brother Charles. I did later. I didn't go to the doctor. I went to Jesus. I honestly thought there was no help for me. I'm done. God, if you don't help me, I'm going to resign this church. I can't do this. I can't go through this. And just in the still of the night, laying in my office floor. He didn't have to say it, but I know he said, I'm here. I know where you are. I know how you feel, and you're not weeping by yourself. I'm weeping with you. Just hang in there, son. It's going to be all right, and we're going to turn this thing around and get glory out of it. From what I was battling in my heart in that office floor that night, I could not stand here and begin to tell you how many people have sat across my desk going through the exact same thing. Amen. You'd be shocked the look on some people's faces when you look across the desk and you say, I know, I've been there. Huh? You've been through what I'm going through? I've been there. How'd you get through it? Let me tell you how. I got serious with God. I cried before him and I begged him to help me, and he helped me. Wasn't a process neither, Brother Freddie. It didn't slowly get better. It was just like, let's go. I walked in that pulpit the next morning and preached like a striped eight, man. I'm telling you, just wide open. Just hours before I was done, I was ready to quit. Don't give in to it. Don't give in to it. Don't entertain it. The longer you do, the harder the battle. Let me say it again. The longer you do, the harder the battle. I know people who have been battling it for years. Now, here's the thing. Could they get better? Yeah. Will they? Maybe not. If we're not careful, that thing can get so deeply rooted and get such a grip on us that our mind is so set on the fact that there's no use. Not that God couldn't do it. He still can. But the devil can get us to a place where we believe in our heart there's no hope for this. We all right? Don't give in to it. Listen, Psalms chapter number 3, a couple of verses. We doing all right tonight? So I want you to preach a shouting message. I get you out of the dumps, we'll shout. Amen. I get some of these chains broke around here. Get the handcuffs off you again. We'll shout. Amen. You get delivered, you shout. Amen. You get delivered. You get in such a funk, you can get to a place where you can't. Been there. And if you do, it's fake. Psalms chapter number 3. Look with me at verse number 3. But thou, O Lord, this is when David was fleeing from his own son. Boy, you talk about a bad situation. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, watch this, and the lifter up of mine head. You're my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I said, don't give in to it. Number two, don't get down from it. Don't give in to it. Don't get down from it. Why? Because God, if he was the lifter up of David's head, you can rest assured he's the lifter up of your head. Hey, have you ever had anybody say, pick your head up, pick your head up? Hey, sometimes I can't pick my head up, but I have a God who can pick my head up. Sometimes I can't get myself going again, but I have a God who can get me going again. And if he can get me going again, he can get you going again. I'm here to tell you, he loved me just like he loved David, and he loves you just like he loves me. Thank God he's no respecter of a person. Amen. God lifts you up when you can't lift you up. my granddaddy had a statement that he made all my life. And if I fell down or whatever, he'd always say, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. I never understood that. I don't know what that meant. But he meant get up yourself, I reckon. Okay, sometimes I can't get up myself. Hey, sometimes the devil hits me with a blow and knocks me down. I can't crawl out of it by myself. This thing's bigger than me, and this thing's bigger than you, and you got to realize that. But at the same time, you got to realize that you got a big brother that it's no match for. God is still the lifter up of your head. Listen, let me tell you something. If you do not have a prayer life, if you're saved, if you do not have a prayer life, you will at some point become discouraged. You know why? Because you're living on your own strength. You're living in your own power. You say, well, preacher, I don't really know how to pray. Talk. Just open your mouth. It's not a formality. There's not a set of rules in praying. Tell God. Tell God. Start by telling Him you love Him. Start by looking around and thanking Him for everything. Hey, that'll beat you out of depression every time, man. You start thanking God for His creation. You start thanking for his mighty acts. You start thanking Him for His power. You start thanking Him for His grace. You start thanking Him for His love. Start thanking Him for your salvation. You start thanking Him for heaven. Start thanking Him for your children, for your home. Start thanking Him for your church, and on and on and on. And by the way, I ain't got nothing to be down about, do I? If you're not praying, you will get down. I said this morning, I believe the reason many have no prayer life is because they're not only in bondage to discouragement and depression, but they're in bondage to doubt. You say, well, I don't doubt my salvation. You doubt God will answer your prayers or you'd pray. Y'all listening? Man, when God healed Ashley Hawford from that cancer, I wanted to go to Scottish Rite and pray for every one of them youngins down there. I'm serious, heart attack. That changed me. Did it do anything for you? I mean, that thing changed me. She got that report. Gone, 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 gone. I'm like, woo, hot dog. Let's do it again. Yeah. I didn't want nobody else to get cancer, but I want to see God do it again. Yeah. I wanted to hear more doctors go, God did that. Yeah. We couldn't even name the cancer. That had to be God. I want more eyes opened like that. Yeah. I remember bowing my head and saying, God, I'm sorry, I'll never doubt you again. But you know what? I have. Y'all okay? Listen, man. You don't pray because you doubt. Won't you just start praying till God proves Himself again? Won't you just start getting alone? Schedule something. Cut your lunch in half. A lot of you could do without it anyway. Cut your lunch in half. Let me say it again. Cut your lunch in half your time. You get 30 minutes to eat, you eat in 15. Go spend 15 minutes alone with God somewhere. Lock yourself in a bathroom. Y'all going to laugh, but I always work construction job. There ain't no telling how much of the Bible I read in the Port-a-John. You got to want to read your Bible to read your Bible in the Port-a-John. Somebody help me. The bigger the job site, the less scripture you read. Amen. Listen, if you're not praying, you will be discouraged because that opens a door for the devil to get in. You see what happens? Brother Charles said it this morning. Those who pray, who go without praying for 1 week will make 1 week. Yeah, 1 week without prayer makes 1 week. That makes sense? You're weak. You're weak. Listen, the devil is pictured in Ephesians as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. I watch the History Channel. That's my favorite. That and TV Land, Bonanza. Little Joe Cartwright's my hero, man. Listen carefully. I watch the History Channel. I watch the nature shows. I watched the whole series on the lions of the Serengeti. They never go after the strong impala. They always look for the one with a limp, one that is sickly, one that is separated from the herd. And that's the one they go after. when you go without praying, it's a given. You're weak. You cannot, you can, I don't care. Well, but you just don't know how spiritual I am. Yeah, right. We'll kiss your ring. With no prayer life, I don't know. This is so simple that you're not getting it. When you fail to have an effective prayer life, the devil is coming after you. He has access to your heart. He has access to your mind. Now remember when the devil came before God and said he'd been to and fro, but he found none. And God said, "Have you tried my servant Job? There's none like him in all the earth." Anyway, remember what God said? The devil said, "Well, you got a hedge around him. I can't get to it." And God said, "I tell you what you do. I'm going to take down the hedge. I'm going to let you in, but you can't touch his soul. You can't touch his soul." That left his flesh. That left his mind. That left his heart. That left all that wide open. You understand that? The devil has access. When you fail to pray and you fail to keep the power of God in your life and you cannot do it outside of praying and reading your Bible, you open the door not only to you. Have y'all seen the Cymbalta was the drug I was trying to say this morning? Have you seen the commercial? It says something about depression, and one of the questions is, who does it affect? You remember what the answer is? Everyone. You ever heard the old saying, if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy? Same way with daddy. Same way with daddy. Y'all listen to me? What the devil's done through your weak heart and your weak spiritual state, he's gained access not only to you, but to your spouse, to your children, your family. When he's in the house, he's in the house. There's not doors he's not allowed in. We okay? I said, don't give in to it. Don't get down from it. Hit your face and begin to pray. It's hard for me to get discouraged when my prayer life's what it ought to be. It's hard for me to get discouraged when I'm in this book like I ought to be. So I'm just a slow reader. Well, don't read a whole lot, but read. Amen. I promise you, if you'll read your Bible 10 minutes a day, it'll make a difference. I promise you that. If you'll read your Bible 10 minutes a day, it'll make a difference. If you'll listen to the right stuff driving down the road, it'll make a difference. Amen. That's our problem. We got so many avenues, our eyes, our ears, man, the devil is. That's why everything is so visual now. People can't stand going to a church that ain't got the songs up on a screen. You know why? Well, why don't we just get a screen and do away with the song books? Oh, you go somewhere else and get you a screen. We're going to stick with the song books, amen? We're so entertainment driven. Y'all all right? We're so entertainment driven. The devil has trained us. If it ain't a show and something we can watch and see, let me tell you something. You can get it right here. You can get it in a CD driving down the road. Sister Sharon gave me a CD. She loaned it to me and told me to copy it, and I've still got it. But I love gospel bluegrass music, and it's tremendous. Boy, there's one or two songs on there, I just keep hitting replay, 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 replay. Listen to that thing over and over. Why? It's ministering to me. It's hard to get depressed when you've got that stuff coming in. Do you understand that? It's hard to get down when your mind's full of Psalms 23. It's hard to get down when he's still on the throne is the song on your mind. Yeah. Amen. Don't give in to it. Don't get down from it. Let me give you one more. Just three. Is that all right? Yeah. Don't give up through it. Don't give up through it. Matthew chapter number 10 talks about enduring. Enduring. Paul talks about enduring hardness. Listen, man, there are sometimes, don't listen to the idiot that tells you that being a Christian is banana splits, Oreo blizzards, and fried apple pies with ice cream on top of it. It's more than that. There are bad days. The Bible said it rains on the just and the unjust. everything ain't always hunky-dory. Man, that's just life, friend. That's life for lost people. That's life for saved people. But you have help when those days come. When the discouragement sets in and the depression sets in, you're not alone. The world out there, they need a doctor. It's all they've got. It's not all they've got, but they don't realize it. They got the same access to God as you do. That's all they need to do is come. Amen. But the world's got them convinced that they're the answer. Listen to me carefully. Whatever you do, don't give up. You say, what if I'm one of those that you talked about that it's been this way for a long time and it's already so deeply rooted in my mind that I can't get no help? You still don't give up. With God, all things are possible. There sits a meth addict right there. That if you went around Paulding County, still to this day I'm running into people going, is it true? I hear Jason Crow's going to your church. Show it. Not only that, he's preaching. Huh? I wonder how many people thought that they'd find him dead somewhere. They really thought just any day we'll find our son, we'll find our brother, we'll find our friend, we'll find him somewhere dead. You see, with God all things are possible. Rusty and Stacy came here, marriage on the kaput nearly. Didn't see no hope for it. Well, let's give God a chance.
Yes, amen. Thank God.
Amen. Don't give up.
Amen.
I don't think it's ever really too late with God.
Amen.
I really don't. I believe there's help
right
here. Tonight in this altar. I don't know exactly. I know a few, but I don't know exactly. Some that shook my hand at the door this morning and told me they needed that, I was shocked. Because we've got to the place where we're professionals at covering up. We are so stinking good. I remember when I was little, my preacher would say, he'd say, you'll fool your parents, but you won't fool me because I can see right through you. I can't see through people anymore. We've got so good. How you doing? Oh, we're doing great. Yeah, you was just thinking about killing yourself last night. Nobody's honest anymore. I called a preacher friend of mine couple of months ago whose wife has been diagnosed with cancer. They're expecting her to die any day. He answered the phone. This was shortly after he got the news. I mean, they'd done sent her home, hospice, that kind of thing. He answered the phone. I said, preacher, how you doing? And he started telling me about a family leaving his church and going to another church. And I almost got mad. I said, hey, I ain't asked about your church. He says, what? I said, I asked about you. How are you doing? And he busted out crying. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to avoid it. He's trying to cover it up. Listen, sometimes it's okay. Just to be honest. Now, I know we can't have a counseling session in the middle of fellowship. I don't want you to come to the platform but right before I preach and tell me you're having suicidal thoughts, it's not a good time. But it's okay. It's okay to pick up a phone and say, hey, I need prayer.
Yeah.
I'm not doing too good today.
Amen.
I've had days over this past year when my daddy got killed. And I don't know, it's just like little things will trigger it. Something I hear or something I see. I get on the freeway, man, and them trucks. I see them big trucks, boy, my mind just automatically goes thinking about my dad who was killed. Boy, if I'm not careful, I can let that thing get me down. Do you know what I've done? I've learned how to say, Lord, help me remember when he taught me how to fish. Help me remember when he bought me my first rifle. Help me remember the days when we got reconciled together. Help me to remember the revival preaching trip he went on and drove for me.
Amen.
Amen. And I can turn that old bad thought into rejoicing. But it's okay, man. It's okay to call somebody up and say, hey, would you pray? I don't mean in a gossiping way, but in a friend you trust. A prayer warrior, a prayer partner is not a bad idea. It don't always have to be one of us guys. There's people in this church that can pray. Amen. Don't be so plastic all the time.
Amen.
You come to church and you're about ready to throw in the towel. You're hanging on by a thread. Man, get in this altar. Ball it out, man.
Amen.
We're on your side. We come in here like that sometimes too. How to beat discouragement. Don't give in to it. Don't get into it. Don't get down from it.
Amen.
And don't quit through it.
Amen.
Amen. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. My favorite word, and I use this all the time in funerals, my favorite word in that entire chapter is through. Through. There's daylight at the other end. I quoted the verse this morning where the Bible said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I wonder, you see, I'm trying to shut up, I promise. The Bible says God knows the end from the beginning. I can't control or know the future, and neither can them psychics on TV. But God really knows. God, really, if you'll ever notice, at the bottom of that commercial, if you'll look real close, it says, for entertainment purposes only. That stuff ain't real, man. If it's real, they'd tell you truthful stuff like, you're going to die of cancer. You're going to get hit by a bus tomorrow. They don't tell you that kind of stuff. I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know about the election. Our primary is Tuesday. I hope you'll go vote. I hope you'll. Who should I vote for? Pray about it.
Amen.
Study it out. See me after church, I'm flat out tell you who not to.
Yeah.
But listen, go vote Tuesday. I don't know about the election. I don't know if it's going to make a lick of a difference. Be honest with you. I don't know. Pray it does. But God knows the end from the beginning. He knows our tomorrow. He knows our next week. And I wonder how many times he sits in heaven and says, man, just when they were about to make it, if they had just went over this hill, they're there. If they had just one more day, when do you think the devil is going to attack you the hardest? Probably when you're almost through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. I wonder how many people have quit just a little short of deliverance. It was right there. I wonder how many times in 40 years the children of Israel got close. You ever thought about that? I wonder how many times it was just over. It's just over there, dummy.
Amen.
I wonder where your point of deliverance is. Don't quit too soon.
Amen.
Don't give up.
Amen.
There's hope for you.
Right.
Listen, this is our church. You're my family. And I love you and I'd do anything in the world for you. But there's some things that go on in your life that I have no control
That's
over.
Right.
And this is all I can do.
Amen. Yes. Yes, sir.
This is all I've got. But if you don't take that thing and receive it, it's not going to help you.
Amen.
You've got to come to Him.
Amen.
The one who can.
That's right.
And He can.
Yes.
He can. Sister Janice, would you come?
please, again, I'm not being critical of people who battle this thing. I'm not being critical of people who are on an antidepressant. For years, parts of our family has dealt with it. Years and years. I'm understanding. I'm not being critical. And I'm just wondering, is there options? Is there help from the Lord? Do I really have to just accept this? I don't believe so, Brother Freddie. Amen. I believe if God can deliver from one thing, one affliction, He can deliver from any. I believe He can. I believe He can. Let's stand to our feet tonight. I hope somebody got some help. Sister James, if you've got a verse, go ahead and just sing. God dealing with your heart, come on.